Hello and welcome to Agile Sustainability. Today we're going to take a different perspective to approach sustainability. Our past episodes have mainly focused on the business perspective, but a business cannot be sustainable without the support of their consumers. Therefore, it's very important for a business to understand the psychology behind consumer behavior and how to influence them on a good cause like sustainability. To help our listeners to build strategies and create sustainability influence, we have invited a very experienced speaker on this topic, David Hardesty. David proposed a framework called SHIFT that can be used as a reference to build such strategies, and he will share more about the details on how practitioners can leverage this framework today. Hi, David.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Can you tell us something about yourself and your research interest?
Sure. So I'm an associate professor of marketing and behavioral science at University of British Columbia, which is in Vancouver, BC in Canada. And I do research on consumer decision making and especially how people make decisions about sustainability and environmental outcomes and how we can kind of nudge people in the right direction to make more sustainable choices.
That's awesome. I have something about the SHIFT framework. I feel it's such a clever coin of words. I'm curious about what was the motivation behind this SHIFT framework? How did they, how was it built?
Sure. So we were thinking, we had this question of, how do we help people be more sustainable? And there's a lot of literature out there, but it's hard to keep track of it all. And it's also hard to know what works for the environment specifically and what doesn't. When you do marketing research on the environment, you find that people will generally say they will do the right thing if you ask them, like, oh, you know, will you use less energy? Will you, you know, sort your waste properly? Will you fly less? People always like say they will do more green stuff, but they don't always follow through. So you can't just rely on what people say. You need to look at behaviors and you can't just use traditional marketing methods always. Some of them work and some of them don't. So we thought, okay, we want to review the literature and find an easy way to remember it. So after we looked over all the studies that have been done, and we grouped them into these five factors, S-H-I-F-T. So S is social influence factors, and H is habit formation and breaking old bad habits, building new good habits. I is individual self, and F is feelings and cognitions, and T is tangibility. And each of those has a lot underneath it, a lot of different tools. It's like a toolkit that you can use. So we thought this would be easier to remember for when you're trying to influence people. You can think of all these different possible tools to try out.
Yeah, it's definitely very easy to remember. Like the first time I go through this paper and this name SHIFT just leave a very big impression in my brain.
That's good. That's what we hoped. And I want to say, before I forget, all credit to my co-authors, Kate White and Rashad Habib. So Kate White is another professor here at UBC, and Rashad Habib, she was a PhD student, and she actually just got a job as a new professor at Ryerson University in Canada. So they did a ton of the work on this. I was, you know, helped out, but it wasn't like it was all like my idea, right? It was a joint effort.
So before we go into the details of this SHIFT framework, let's understand the background a little bit more. Like, what types of consumer behavior are impacting the environment?
And there's a lot we do. One area to think about is climate change, and the big behaviors that matter a lot for climate change from a consumer perspective is what you eat, right? So especially certain things like if you're eating beef, for example, that uses a lot more energy and produces a lot more climate change emissions than other things. So changing your diet, that's number one. Number two, it would be home energy. So your house heating and cooling and all your appliances and how much all the home energy, you know, cooling, that makes a big difference. And so if you can, you know, upgrade your insulation, it can save you money on your bill and also be better for climate change. And then the third thing is travel, right? How you commute, getting to work, Are you biking or using an electric car or mass transit, or are you driving? And if you fly, that also has a big impact. So those are the three big areas I focus on for climate. And the other big area that matters a lot to me and a lot of other people too is, of course, reducing waste. And just in general, the best way to do that is, you know, less buying less brand new things, right? Less new physical stuff. So if you can have more used stuff or reusing things, that's a better way to go. So those are maybe the four big behaviors I focus on as a consumer myself.
So it sounds like a lot of aspects of a consumer's behavior can be changed. Then how will the business influence the consumer towards this direction?
Yeah, so I mean, businesses can do it depending on, I mean, on what products you offer, how they're described to people. For example, you know, where they're positioned on a menu or what is the default. One of my favorite examples would be from this is in the public sector, but a power company. You know, you can have green energy. So sometimes people could pay a little bit more for green energy. And a lot of people are willing to maybe pay a little bit more, but they don't know about it, or they're too busy, or it seems like unnecessary maybe. So you get some small percentage that will sign up for green energy sources if they have to take an extra step. But if you change the default, so there are some studies, and when I say studies, also this is real, you know, energy companies have done this, especially in Europe, where the default is that naturally you get green energy, or if you want, you can opt out and get, you know, coal. Then most people, almost everybody goes for green energy actually, right?
Wow.
So making the environmental option, the default, making it easy for people. Other things this could apply to is like, you know, paperless billing, right? If you have a, you know, customer's email address or phone for texting, making it so that they automatically do paperless billing. Right? And if they want to, they could sign up to get a paper bill, right? But just make it really easy to go paperless instead of being a lot of work where they have to hunt and find it. So that's the number one thing I would say for business, is to make the more green options the easier default options.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Back to the shift framework, out of the five factors, if the business have to start with one or start with a few, which one of the factors do you think will influence the consumer behavior more than the other, and why?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the situation. Is the first thing. It's kind of a boring answer, but really we intend this as a toolkit, right? So these are different things to try out, and there's so much that varies from situation to situation. So we really encourage this as ideas that have been found to often work, and you can try different ones out in different situations and see what works for you and test. Okay, with that said, you know, you still want some kind of answer. So number one, I would say, would be the H factor, because it has the defaults, making it easy. Like I said, I think that's the number one thing. If you make it easy for people, the other one kind of tied with that maybe is the S factor, which is social influence. And that is that we're very strongly influenced by other people around us. So what we see everybody else doing, you know, if you have a friend if all of your friends are driving gas cars, then probably you're likely to also buy and drive a gas car, right? If all of your friends are taking the bus and the train or bicycling, then you're likely to do that, right? And we've seen that, and this isn't an environmental thing, but there was a recent study that illustrated the same principle with mask wearing with COVID. So this was in the United States, and they were trying to predict, how do you know who will wear a mask to stop COVID? And they measured things like, do you think COVID is dangerous? You know, are you at risk? Do you think you could pass it on to other people? Do you want to protect other people or yourself? None of that actually mattered much. The number one predictor of who wears a mask is people around them wear a mask, right? If you see your friends, your neighbors, people in public wearing a mask, then you do the same. If you see the people around you are not doing it, then you don't do it. So similarly for environmental things, if you can make pro-environmental actions more visible so that you can see other people doing something, then that will really help things catch on.
About the social influence, I feel that it's difficult for the business to change what the social influence would be. Then are there anything that the business could do in this area to influence the consumer behavior?
I mean, this is perpetually a difficulty because social influence needs to come from other consumers, right? It's like word of mouth kind of, right? It's not just word of mouth, but showing. How can you get people to show? So, I mean, you could offer some incentives. Some people will be happy if there's some kind of incentive to, you know, tweet about something or, you know, have a picture or show that they're doing something, especially if it's some, you know, new good environmental action. You can, or in your ads, you can show kind of everyday people doing things rather than celebrities. People will generally identify with people like them. So this makes representation important, right? And people are more likely to go along with environmental action if they say kind of see people like them doing it rather than some top model who's, you know, very attractive or a movie star who's very cool, but they don't identify with that person, right? So it's good to maybe to use, we call it descriptive, your everyday self rather than ideal self for marketing.
Yeah, so just now you described the SHIFT framework as a toolbox. So for a practitioner who come across this for the first time, how do you advise them to form a strategy out of it?
So, I mean, you can go through the letters, and I recommend look at each of the letters has a, if you read, we have a paper, a few different papers. So, if you just search online and find our SHIFT paper, you can search for SHIFT sustainability and read through, and you'll see a lot of different ideas there and see, oh, how could this apply to my situation? You can generate a list of ideas. And then for each one, I recommend doing testing, right? So maybe, you know, some people, you do one thing, other people, you try something else and see which works better and then scale it up. We also, by the way, in addition to the academic papers, we have a Harvard Business Review article that's pretty short and readable called The Elusive Green Consumer, which is actually also presents the SHIFT framework. But a funny thing about Harvard Business Review is that they have a rule against acronyms. So you can't say SHIFT for that paper because they have a rule. So instead we had to break it, right? So instead of like habits, is called leveraging the domino effect. And instead of the F factor, feelings and cognition, instead of that, we called it the head and the heart. So we still present all five factors, but we changed the labels so it doesn't spell SHIFT anymore. But you know the secret now. So if you read our Elusive Green Consumer article in Harvard Business Review, it's got lots of good examples and ideas there. And it's also, and you can have the acronym to help remember the categories.
Thanks for sharing the secret. I mean, the SHIFT framework is definitely easier to remember than leveraging the domino.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think it's great. But HBR has this rule, no acronyms. I guess for a while, there were too many of them. Everybody was always doing acronyms for a while. And so it was like not cool anymore. But I think it's useful.
Yeah, we will include the link to the article that you mentioned in our podcast description so that it will be easier for our listeners to find it. So let's say when the business practitioners are forming a strategy out of the framework, are there anything that they should avoid or take note of that could be counterproductive?
Yeah, well one I'll mention that this actually answers your last question a little bit, as well as this one, is that it's super important to practice what you preach, to lead by example. If consumers think that the company is being really environmental and they're also encouraging the consumer to be environmental, then people will often go along with it. But if they think the company is just doing it to look good or save money, then it can actually backfire. So there's one study, it was at a hotel, and the hotel, you know, often a hotel will ask you like, refuse the room service, don't have your room cleaned, because they'll say maybe it's better for the environment if they don't have to clean your room. But of course, it also saves money for the hotel if they don't have to clean your room, right? And so sometimes I think rightfully, well, maybe they're not really trying to be good citizens, they're just trying to save money. And so this study found that if a hotel is taking active and visible steps, that's part of the key, is you have to show you're being environmental, then the hotel guests actually would follow the requests and they would be more likely to reuse their towels. They would refuse the room cleaning more often. But if the hotel was not making visible environmental efforts, then asking people to please think of the environment and, you know, don't take the room cleaning, it actually had a backfire effect, right? Sometimes actually, if you ask people to be environmental and it seems like you're not in good faith and you're not doing it yourself, then it can even make people mad and have the opposite of the desired effect. So you have to be pretty, it's very tricky actually. And I would say not moral, you know, another difficult thing is maybe not moralizing too much, right? If you guilt trip people, a lot of people will take that badly. So I think it's good to provide information to make things easy. People really like it if you make it easy to be environmental. Like, oh, if you do this, you know, you don't have to do any waste. Like, for example, here we have a meal delivery service and it's called Fresh Prep, and they have a zero waste option so that actually they drop off the food for cooking. You know, it's one of these services where they drop off all the ingredients and they give you the recipe and you cook it. And they have this new option, which is zero waste, which is where you actually return all of the containers and they can reuse them over and over again. So there's nothing to go in the garbage afterwards, which is great. But it's a little more trouble and it's an option, and they advertise it. Hey, we have this option, but they don't like guilt trip you. Like, hey, do you know how much, you know, cause you could be like, oh, there's so much plastic produced and look at all these dying animals. And then you just feel bad and you want to make kind of empower people to do the right thing and feel good about it. If you just guilt trip people about it, then they're not going to like your business. That's the tricky thing. Then they will probably, yeah, maybe they care, it'll make them care more about that issue, but they'll go to some other business if when they think of you, they just think guilty, right?
Yeah, so I think it's very important for the business to lead by example instead of requiring or asking their consumers to behave in a certain way because of guilt tripping. Yeah. So I think that is very important for the business to take note of. I think one last question is, the SHIFT framework is so nicely presented and there are so many ways that practitioners can put it into use. So I'm curious, what is the future research direction on this? And if the practitioners find it useful, how can they give feedback to give more business real life examples to the team so that you guys can keep working on this framework in the future?
Yeah, so we are still doing research on it, and especially the next phase is really looking at long term. So most of the research we reviewed is about kind of one-off decisions, right? So do people buy this or that, or you know, do they recycle this or throw it in the garbage? Kind of one decision. And then who knows what happens afterwards, but we're interested in long-term effects, right? If they see this message, not just one day, but you know, for a year, or you know, what are the long-term impacts and what tools are the best in the long run? We don't know much yet, right? And so we are doing that research right now. And I would love it if there's businesses that are trying these out, especially if you have success stories. But even if you have things that don't work, it's important to share also what doesn't work, right? Like the, you know, like I said, if you come on too strongly on guilting, it can backfire. It's important to know that as well. So if you have either successes or failures, I would love to hear about it. And you can do that either by at me on Twitter, or you can send me an email. I'm happy to share those in the podcast notes. I guess I should know what my Twitter is. I think it's at @dhardesty on Twitter. and then, you know, I would love to know, and maybe you could even collaborate. You could be in a future paper, or I would love to, you know, with your consent, it could be an example in class or anything if you like, or I can just keep it to myself if you want to be anonymous.
That is super awesome. So for listeners who want to learn more about the research article on the SHIFT framework, you can find the link to the articles in our podcast description. And I think this is such a meaningful session with David today on the SHIFT framework. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me on. It was fun. Thank you.
If you're interested in the questions we're planning to address, please visit our podcast homepage at www.agilesustainability.org. Let's collect more puzzle pieces on sustainability together. Subscribe and stay tuned.